This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, it's Jack from Cultaholic, joined by something of a dream team. It was almost like never the twain shall meet, but now they have. It's Andrew and Matthew, the two nicest men. Oh, we've got Tom Campbell as well, though, don't we? Two of the nicest men in Cultaholic.com. How are you, Matthew? How are you? We'll start with you. How are you doing?
I'm feeling particularly second nicest at Cultaholic. Thank you, Jack. How about yourself, mate?
I'm not too bad, thank you. And Andrew, how are you?
I'm very well. I'm good, thank you, Jack. I'm good. Ready to get into some pitches with the boys.
Chaps, are we excited for WrestleMania? Backlash. Oh. Yeah, I know. So it's obviously a nine pitches video. If anyone's not seen one of these before, we'll take turns. We'll go in a little circle. I think we'll go in the order of Matthew, Andrew, then myself. We'll all go around three times, and that should leave us with nine lovely pitches. The other two will vote on whether it's a good idea or a bad idea. And remember that golden rule. It's not what we think's going to happen. It's what we want to happen. Yes. Matthew, why don't you just kick us off?
Oh, all right then. It was good writing these because I was asked yesterday to write them. And I presumed WrestleMania Backlash was the response Hulk Hogan got a few weeks ago. Got written there. Pause for laughter. So my number one pitch. For the Raw triple threat match for the WWE Championship, I think they should have some skits backstage to build up to this, where Shelton and Cedric both badmouth Lashley and MVP and say, yeah, I'm with you, Drew. I'm with you, Braun. I hope you beat that. Ooh, that Lashley. I used to be his mate, but now I'm not. So then the main event happens and actually Cedric and Shelton turn on Drew and Braun and help Lashley win. And everyone goes, wait, why would that happen? But I thought you guys just separated it and Shelton and Cedric both go, look, we thought with WWE firing so many people that we'd have some room to do some stuff. But now that Garza, Carrillo and Jinder's ninjas are back, we just realized, you know what, we're so much better together. We're like when the cast of Friends all thought that they could go off and do movies and it didn't work and they went back and did some more Friends. And they look at Lashley and Lashley goes, you know what? You're dead right. Sorry about that. Let's pretend this was the plan all along and move on. Because let's face it, the Hurt Business were one of the best things about Raw last year, and they're just not as good doing separate stuff.
And Lashley's so Monica. I mean, it's not the most seamless pitch we've ever had, but I'm going to give it a yes anyway, Matthew, because you're right. It's results-based, isn't it? We want the Hurt Business back together. It was a bad decision to split them up. I can't think of any reason not to do it. In that match, I'm assuming they would help Lashley. They would help Lashley retain the belt then.
Yes.
Right, yeah, fair enough. Yeah, it's a yes from me. Yes from me. Starting off strong. Andrew.
Ooh, wow. Yeah, big yes from me. Like you were saying before, just they were one of the best things about Raw. Just a weird thing Raw just likes. Breaking up teams for no apparent reason, and I don't want to see Cedric and Shelton just like fall back into the card. Like it would be nice to have them be more prominent on the product. So yes, it's a massive fat yes from me.
Massive fat yes. I just realised we could also add a bit where someone goes, MVP does make any sense. And he goes, yeah, but then I had Retribution come in and I realised, oh, I've made a horrible mistake. Yeah, you know what? Hello, her business. Yeah, we get back together, please. But thank you very much for that, love. Andrew, what have you got?
So I have got Sheamus doing an open challenge, but who is it answered by? Well, let me get there, guys. I'm going to take you on a journey, mm-hmm. as always, because I write too much on these document sheets, but here we go, right. So after dominating those who have answered his open challenges this far, Sheamus, he's disgusted by the lack of guts on display here in the WWE. Sheamus, he wants a fight. He's a fighting man. And this is the best that's presented itself. Humberto Carrillo and Mansoor, what are you on about? What's going on here? Pathetic. That's not me saying that. That's Sheamus, by the way.
Yeah.
What's more, he's even more disgruntled by the fact that he's not on the Backlash card because no one even dares to step up to him. Blah. Jesus Christ, guys. Awful. But you know what? That's to be expected when not one single person back there in the locker room can go toe-to-toe with me, Big Shamu. And you know what? I'm willing to give this another shot. Anyone, Raw, SmackDown, NXT, come on. Come and test your luck against me. Prove your worth. Prove to me you're better than anyone else in the back. And my idea is, after recently handing in his resignation with NXT, here comes Mr. Roderick Strong, making his main roster debut. And he doesn't talk. He just stares intensely at Sheamus, comes straight down, and they get right to it. They have a nice old match. Now, I don't think Roddy should necessarily win this match. Both men, I think they have like a really good, intense, stiff-looking brawl. With Sheamus managing just to snag the win at the end. But Roddy comes out of this looking amazing, I think. And he proves that he can go with the best. And I think you build him up slowly as a babyface before he finally topples Sheamus down the line. And I would like to see Roddy as United States champion because obviously with Brian not on SmackDown now, if Brian turns up on Raw and them two have like some nice chemistry together like they have done in Ring of Honor, that would be really cool to see as well. So, and perhaps that's the way that Brian even like goes out down the line too. Like kind of just, okay, I'm going to step back from wrestling now because we've had nice matches with Roderick Strong. So Roderick Strong to answer Sheamus's open US challenge at Backlash this weekend.
That pitch was like a really good day. Nothing outrageous happened, nothing mad. It was neat, it was tidy, it was a few pints in the pub after work, seeing all your pals, having a really good time. And everything got tied up nicely. That was clean. I'm going to give it a yes, Andrew.
Thank
a clean
you.
One. Woo. I like the idea of him not winning as well, but still giving a good go of it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Sheamus is like 2 foot taller than him. But I get it. And it, I think it works really well. And it sets them both up nicely.
Nice.
Matthew, what do you reckon?
Yeah. If I had a perfect day, I would have it start this way. Have Roderick Strong make his Raw debut and challenge Sheamus.
He's bringing out the Offspring deep cut. Is that a deep cut?
Then I'd hang out with my friends.
Yeah.
Play Smash Brothers again.
We don't even really care who wins. Hey, one, two, three. That's one for all the 90s kids out there.
Yeah, all three who are watching.
So,
I like it. That's a well... That's the payoff to Sheamus coming out and challenging and beating up everybody. He goes, oh, yeah, who could take me on? Who's strong enough to take me on?
Oh, Matthew, that was a good... I wish I'd come up with that now. That would have been good, that.
And he goes, it's my name. I'm strong.
Yes, please.
Matthew, I've got to ask, because a few years ago, before Roderick Strong signed with WWE, he was obviously a big old baddie in Ring of Honor and various other places. And was it the UK crowds who invented, I can't say the exact phrase, but the heat that he got for his rubbish little boots that he wears?
I was there when people chanted a PC dub and then the PWG crowd did, I think, do it as well. But I can't say who was the first people to do it, but all the Americans have stolen all the good British chants. Mm. Just saying.
They are rubbish boots.
Got you in 4K, just saying. But
Andrew, if you've never noticed Roderick Strong's rubbish little boots, you'll never unsee them now.
Do you know what? I've never. Are they like just them? Because I know, I can't remember who else it is, but someone wears them and they just look like little plastic bags. Just like...
Kind of. They're just low tops, but wearing wrestling boots, I'm going to come right up to the knee. Yeah.
It's like if you ever go to hospital and you don't have shoes, they give you bags
yeah.
to walk home in. Hospital shoes. Hospital. Yeah, it doesn't really work, does it?
That's the chant.
But I was there at PC Dub when he was doing that, and the crowd were doing like, yeah, and he kept on walking out. Anyway, if you do it again, I'm leaving. All right, we won't. Gets in, locks up. Something, something, boots. Right, that's it. You asked for it. So he started getting his merchandise out and putting it on the ropes. He's going, right, cool, 15 quid a shirt. You want to sign an autograph? I could do that as well while the match was on, just suspend it over the ropes. Oh, it was good.
That is good. It's easy, this wrestling lark, isn't it?
Yeah.
Probably.
They make it look so easy, don't they?
Yeah. So it's two yeses, Andrew. Congratulations.
Yay. Thank you.
And brave
like
review.
I could say no to Andrew.
No.
Go on, Jack.
Mine, I'm going to go straight in with the match that I'm most looking forward to, which is Roman Reigns versus Cesaro for the Universal Championship. But I've written an article, which I think should be out on cultaholic.com when this video goes live. And it basically explains why it's going to be a great match, probably. But in booking terms, it's a little bit of a lose-lose situation, because if Roman wins, then Cesaro's push is kind of under threat. You might fall away a bit, which is sad. But if Cesaro wins, that would be amazing. But I feel like it's too soon. If Cesaro was going to win, I'd want it to be like at SummerSlam or Survivor, like somewhere a little bit further down the line. And I don't want Roman's story with the belt to end yet. There's too many moving pieces. So I think it's time for a lovely old-fashioned, and it's the most exciting result in all of wrestling, a time limit draw. Yes.
Ooh.
I know. Obviously, the match isn't scheduled for a time limit, so Roman's going to have to do some kind of wrangling with Paul Heyman to try and... I don't know what... I can't think of a motivation why he'd want a time limit. He just can't be bothered. He's secretly scared of Cesaro, but he passes it off as, you're only worth 30 minutes of my time. And if any two wrestlers, I think, could pull off a 30-minute match and keep it entertaining all the way through, because it doesn't have to be a million flips a minute and everything, I think Cesaro and Roman could really pull it off. So I'm going for that. I'm going for a time limit draw. And then Cesaro doesn't get his rematch immediately at the next pay-per-view. He gets put on the back burner for a little bit. Maybe Roman beats him up on SmackDown the week after or something. And I'm sure that a lot of people will probably, if that were to actually happen, it'd probably be quite divisive. But I'd like it. So I'm going for the time limit draw in the main event. I'm guessing it's going to be the main event. I hope it is.
Yeah.
That's a nice way out, because you're right. Cesaro needs the elevation, but not that much. Plus, Roman Reigns should be probably pumped to other people, but maybe not at that level. So, yeah, that's a good way out for the next chapter.
Yeah,
no
I
wonder,
think
no wonder you write so many great articles, Jack.
Thank you.
One
a week.
God,
slave labor, lads.
But, yeah, I think that's a really cool way to do it, because obviously it's a bit of a weird one, because everybody, myself included, wants to see Cesaro get this push, but I just don't see him winning the belt at Backlash, and then I don't really want him to like just fade into the background again. So I think this would be a really cool way to do it. I like the time limit aspect to it. I think that's really good. Like, maybe Roman's just like, it won't even take me this long to get rid of you, like, kind of thing. Just like asserting his dominance and stuff. But yeah, I really, really like that. I think that's a really cool way to keep things going on, to keep pushing things forward.
And I think it would probably have to end with Cesaro almost, like, the time's running out and he's running wild and he just doesn't quite put him away in time. But yes, right.
Also, I like, Jack, I like the idea of Roman Reigns suddenly turning into Larry Zbysko.
Yeah.
You know, bell rings. Oh, gonna go outside. Ah, do some stretches.
Yes. Put his merch out, like Roderick Strong.
Oh, God.
selling it to the screens in the Thunderdome.
Yeah, he's there with the teacher. Go on.
Yeah.
Using number 36, come on.
Well, who would have thought it? We've all given each other two yeses for the first round of pitches. I know.
Be nice.
Maybe one of us will ruin it in round number two. Matthew, what is your second pitch, please?
Well, we're hoping people are going to watch this video and go, you know what? I think that they've done such a good job of being positive. I'll watch WrestleMania Backlash and actually be bothered about this. Then I'll watch the rest of the Cultaholic stuff. Because if they go, this looks naff, they're not going to want to watch anything. The second one is, it's very brief. I always do a little filler one between the two. Alexa Bliss interferes in the triple threat match between Charlotte, Asuka, and Rhea Ripley, and cost Charlotte the opportunity, presumably with a spooky puppet that goes, whoa, possibly does impressions of somebody else on the roster that annoys them to no end. And this means that on the next episode of Raw, and for the next few weeks, Bliss and Charlotte are feuding. And the benefit of this means I can skip one segment per week and get rid of both of them at the same time. Well, and that's it.
With Bliss, it's obvious when she's going to show up, but Charlotte can pop up anywhere.
Mm.
So you never. So I get what you mean, though. If you stuck them together, then maybe
she's more random than the doll.
At the risk of us asking a silly question, who's the bad guy in this? Is it Charlotte?
Oh, I think the Booker.
You're the bad guy.
I'm the bad guy for saying this. Yes, Charlotte can be good, but it's almost a joke now, even as a bad character, where she's shoved into these feuds where she shouldn't be there. I'm like, no, this was fine. You know, like, you've just made a delicious pie. You know, two separate bits of ingredients, steak and kidney. Fantastic. You don't need steak, kidney, and a gatto. You're like, no, Charlotte, no, God, this is hideous. Why would you do this? Steak and kidney and gatto. So I like to think she's best wrestling the other people away from the magnificent feud that could be Asuka versus Rhea Ripley.
Mm-hmm. Mm, I like that. And Matthew, it's kind of like the one that I've got as well for my second one.
Oh, is it really?
So,
should we both give each other a thumbs up? So we.
But it's like, I'm not saying yours isn't fleshed out. I like, because I'm an idiot, I just wrote loads of just nonsense about it anyway. But I could.
No, I like your narratives that you write, though.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Should we dive into it? I want to give Matthew's a yes, but only because it's similar.
I'll give Matthew's a... So, Andrew, have you seen Street Fighter the movie?
No, I haven't, actually.
Oh!
Have you? Is it good? No, never.
Oh, it's good.
You're a triple jump wrestling person who worked with me and Jack. And
I know, right?
Sat you down and made you watch Street Fighter the movie.
one day when lockdown's over and that, we need to watch Street Fighter the movie because it's my favourite bad film ever. It's so good. But Raul Julia plays Bison and he's really, he's hamming it
really?
Up. Really? Yeah, he's the only good one, isn't it?
Oh, it's magnificent.
Jean-Claude Van Damme is Guile. It's brilliant.
Oh my, that's cool. Jack, yeah. That's really cool.
Jack, quick, don't tell anything more of the film. Okay. Just use bits from the film for your pitches. And Andrew Black, wow, that's really good, Jack.
can we sit down and can we watch like Mortal Kombat and stuff as well? Like go through all the bad ones. Yeah, we're allowed to do that.
Anyway, I'm going to give Matthew the standard, the Bison Trooper middle thumbs up because I wasn't sure what I'd do. Now you are real Bison Troopers.
I don't rightly know, they used to call that. Go on, Andrew.
Yeah.
So I guess obviously sort of going off what Matthew was saying there. So for me personally, and I think for a lot of people too, like we don't really want to see Charlotte Flair in the title picture, you know, or at least not hold the title as it is anyway. So with all the stuff that's been happening, like all the weird cryptic promos that Alexa's been doing with Lily on Raw, it seems as though Bliss has got her eye on Charlotte Flair. Like Lily was present in a shot during a backstage segment with Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville, where Adam Pearce was like chewing out, like, you shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have you shouldn't have done that. That was naughty.
I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at Adam Pearce because every week Sonya does something wrong and he goes, well, you shouldn't have done that. And she goes, sorry. And then the next week it happens all over again. Yeah.
So Pierce is all mad and stuff. We saw Lily in the background there. And this week, obviously, we saw Bliss. She was just swinging on the ramp. And then I think Charlotte, big boots, ask her. And then Alexa is just laughing and stuff like that. But I know we're like sick of the spooky shenanigans and stuff at this point. But I guess this is sort of the place to have it happen and then take Charlotte out of the picture. Because obviously there's like no DQs and stuff. So the match is going along, things seem to be going in the favour of Charlotte, and then Bliss appears on the swing with Lily on there as well, much like on Raw this week. She's laughing, she's creeping everyone out. Perhaps there's a spot like where Rhea and Charlotte, they're like fighting on the ramp, they're fighting each other on the ramp, going back and forth, and then they get pretty close to Alexa and Lily, and like Charlotte either like spits on Bliss or something because she's in the way, or like she grabs she just spits on her, or she grabs Lily and like tears the head off Lily, and she's like, no one cares about your stupid toys, you idiot, go on, get away with you. And then like in this moment Rhea manages to like turn Flair around, picks her up and ripties her off the stage, and they go through like some electrical stuff or something.
Whoa.
So that means the lights go out, boo, the lights go down, and then when the lights return back up, Charlotte Flair's gone. And so it's like the swing set and Lily and everything. But Alexa's sat on the ramp in a full WrestleMania black goo gear. So she's got like the crown on and all the goo is like coming down her face and stuff. And she's got either, I haven't decided because I was like, oh, maybe she's got like a lock of Charlotte's hair or something in her hand, but Alexa's hair's blonde as well, so maybe that might not come off as well. So maybe she's got like Charlotte's boot or something. I don't know.
What's an object that's so unmistakably Charlotte?
Well, the thing I was like a robe, but she won't be wearing the robe at the time, so it might be a bit weird that. But anyway, so yeah, she's got something of Charlotte's, and she goes from just being stoic, like not doing anything, and then she starts laughing maniacally and everything, and then I don't know, some spooky mist comes up and like engulfs her, and she disappears. But yeah, like my reasoning for this happening is I think Alexa's been cutting some amazing promos, but I can see him getting a little bit stale soon if they keep going down sort of just like the, sort of psychological cryptic, you know, what could happen and all this kind of stuff. And then also like, it would be just nice not to have, as I said before, Charlotte Flair in the title picture. And also if we have Alexa start beating these people that WWE see as like the biggest sort of women's wrestlers and build Alexa up to be like a dominant force, eventually we could get to Alexa versus Rhea for the title, because we can kind of tie it together at the Royal Rumble when Rhea dumped Alexa over the top rope and like all the women's wrestlers didn't let Alexa transform because they knew like, oh, if she transforms, that's it for us, like she'll just chuck us all out and whatever. So I was like, maybe that could be a thing, and like, I don't know, Alexa could be all like, ah, you know what, if you had to let her out, I'd be the one holding that belt and not you and that kind of stuff. So
yeah,
just let Alexa Bliss have eyes on Charlotte Flair, just so then Charlotte Flair can just do one for a little bit, just see in a bit.
I'm going for a Bison Trooper as well, because I feel like I'd have to... But I'm verging almost on a thumbs up, just because I really enjoy your very, very well thought out attempts to really apply logic to WWE's booking of Raw over the past few months, because you really did a good job there.
Thank you.
Of making it almost make sense. Mm. But yeah, it's like that.
Thank you.
It's like that level. Yeah. Apologies to audio listeners.
I like the fact that you've gone into even more extravagant detail than Adam Pacitti. This making you...
He does, doesn't he?
Right. This making you the new pro of pros. So, well done, Andrew. I'm completely outclassed. I have to give you at least a Bison Trooper midway thing.
Wow, thank you.
The reason why I wouldn't give you the whole hog is because the reason why I wanted it done is for a little joke, and almost because I'm cynical, because I'm sick of seeing it. It's not for me. It turns out not everything is good with puppets. I've been proven correct. But you know what? You know what? You put such effort into that, such detail that I could visualize it. I'm like, wow, that's great. But then I visualized it and went, oh, this is god awful. Even with Andrew writing it, still pants. So you know what? Half a thumb, like Dave Meltzer, half a thumb for the effort.
I will take it. I will take it. Thank you, boys. Thank you.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found.
LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Very good stuff. I'm gonna go for my comedy one now, lads. Ooh. And then I'm going to close on a sensible one, I suppose. Just because I want to throw in the funny one. Mine is involving... Well, it could involve anybody. Yeah, you know what? It'll be Bobby Lashley. He's won. He's retained the title. He's standing on top of the ramp looking all dominant. And everyone's like, oh, no, who's going to stop Bobby Lashley? He's unstoppable. And what does everyone associate with Backlash that they love so much? The hooks that come down. And they come down and a figure flies off and knocks him out. And everyone's like, who the hell is that? And it's only, he's crossed the divide. It's Hook from AEW, Taz's son, on a hook. And he's flown in. And he's the next challenger for Bobby Lashley. And everyone loses their minds because, I don't know if you know this, Andrew, but Hook's become a bit of a meme recently.
I haven't. What's Hook been doing?
He's just very attractive.
Ooh.
I don't know, like puberty or something happened. I don't know. Yeah. But everyone's like, whoa, Hook looks like such a little F-boy. There's a tweet that I saw recently where it's these three guys and they're all like running around the apartment like, there's a new Hollywood heartthrob, we need to know everything about him. And one of them just goes, there's a new hunky teen on the Hollywood scene. And that's how I feel about Hook. He's the new hunky teen on the AEW scene. So I'm gonna go for that. Hook to fly in on a Backlash hook. It's given us two things that we want to see, which share the same name, and that's it.
Dressed as Captain Hook.
Bring
me Peter Pan. Yeah. I'll be honest, with the recent mention there of Mortal Kombat in the film, I thought you were saying Lashley's like, yeah, I won, I've got the title, yeah, and he's walking backwards, and everybody's like, Lashley, watch out! And, and then the two hooks just skewer him like a kebab. No, Lashley's dead. You know, and I was like, wow, that's a grim ending, Jack. But no, Hook from Crossing the Divide. How heartless would that be for WWE to hire a kid, hire someone's son?
Well, don't worry, I've thought of a reason for them to feud.
Fantastic, there's more, go on.
Obviously, Hook's got the spirit of ECW in his actual blood. He's the son of an ECW legend, and he thinks that Bobby Lashley is a symbol of all that was wrong with ECW when it was in WWE.
Ooh.
And he challenges him to a dismember to dis... I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But just those two in the big cage.
Yeah.
So I don't know what you think of that, Andrew.
Now that you've kind of like tied it around like that, it's not too bad. Again, like, kind of like what Matthew was saying, I thought you were going to be like, oh, Bobby Lashley is on the ramp, he's going to back up. One of the hooks just like gets Bobby's undies and just like takes him up into the rafters, like just gets a wedgie.
Fast times at Backlash High. Yeah. All the kids, yeah. Like,
put me down.
Yeah, yeah, like that.
Why I gotta...
And then Simpsons Cedric and Finky are just like below him going, I'll catch you, I'll catch you.
Is it the Simpsons episode where they're always like that crusty old Dean? Yeah, it's like that. Everyone's all like, yeah, let's party now.
And then the whole locker room comes out and just has a nice party underneath him.
Start dancing to Wipeout.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lashley's just there, I hate that hedgehog.
But you know what? You tied it round, and that's just a funny image in my head. So,
well,
yeah,
you've enhanced that. That's you. That. So.
Well, no, but no, yeah. But like you tied the ECW thing round. Yeah. So I've got to. Yeah, why not?
Go on,
it's funny.
Thank you.
Go
Cheers.
On, I give it to you.
Yeah,
thank you. Who's turn? Matthew, it's your turn now. It's your third and final one.
Mine. It's not quite elaborate, but I feel quite short. Compared to Andrew's huge notes. So I'll just cross my legs and hope for the best here. Roman Reigns retains against Cesaro. This one's more about what happens after WrestleMania Backlash. And decides because there's no one even near his level right now. That, as a matter of fact, only champions can now challenge him. So Cesaro hears this and goes, damn it, I don't have a title.
I can't get a title shot then against Roman Reigns. Roman said, that's right. That's how this is going to work from now on. I'm so good. I am the table man, as I say every week. You need to do something about it. So it's like, all right. So Cesaro then starts popping up on NXT and Raw. And you don't know when he's going to pop up. Whenever there's an open challenge because of Sheamus, Cesaro might be there. Mm. Whenever someone's like, who will take on Finn Balor for the NXT Championship? Oh, sorry, Killer Cross now, wasn't it? Sorry. Killer Cross, who will show up? But Cesaro. And it's like, okay, and he doesn't get it the first time round, but there are a lot of titles in WWE, and he's going around back and forth going, oh, come on, let me get one title shot. It's all right, it's all I need. And doesn't always win it because, you know, be a bit naff if he wins it after 1 week. But then just as he's about to put the finishing touches to, oh, God, I don't know. Let's say Killer Cross, who should show up. But Daniel Danielson himself, the American Dragon, wearing a mask, goes, what are you doing here? You left. And he goes, no. Daniel Bryan left. American Dragon is still around here. And I've decided I'm going to go around doing the same thing as you. He goes, no, that's not fair. He goes, yeah, I need to get my contract back. I need a title. I'd be the unsigned American Dragon from the HWA, trained by Shawn Michaels for 1 week. That'll be me.
Was he not actually properly trained by Shawn Michaels?
I don't think anybody from the HWA was properly trained. Like Shawn Michaels ran every class. He did the thing like the Hart brothers did when Jericho and Lance Storm were being trained, where like Bruce Hart showed up for 1 week and then, I don't know, Jimmy Jack Hart showed up, whatever, Stinky sign, or sign Dopey guy. Or whatever one of the other Hart brothers that we haven't heard about.
Did sign Guy Hart.
Sign Guy Hart, yes.
Yeah.
Fake Shemp Hart. That's a deep cut, sorry. But that becomes a thing. Who is going to win the title first and on which brand? Will it be Daniel Bryan? Will Daniel Bryan open the invisible gate and do all these independent matches he's talking about? Will he be taking on Jacob Fatu, the MLW title, and then bring in that? Will Cesaro have to beat his friend Sheamus and get really awkward and go, look, I'm sorry, mate, but can we, I don't know, the bar and everything, but... And then all the while, Roman Reigns is just watching this on TV going, ha-ha, this is great. And I think that'd be interesting because on one level, it means Daniel Bryan will be back doing something because we're still unsure if it's real or not, if he's actually gone. And also means Cesaro can get leveled up, like your pitch earlier, Jack, without leveling down Roman Reigns. So that is my elaborate thing.
Well, I almost gave it a no at first because SmackDown's really good. And I was like, oh no, he's meddling with SmackDown. But then I thought, no. Because generally, if we just look beyond SmackDown at just all of WWE's product, it's all a bit samey sometimes, isn't it? SmackDown's actually doing a lot better than Raw, obviously, but it generally all feels quite carbon copy of the previous week and whatever. So I think it needs a dash of unpredictability, so I'm going to give it a thumbs up, actually.
I like that, yeah, I really like that too. Have Daniel Bryan come back again with a mask, American Dragon and everything. That would be really cool. And that is like a, almost like a, even though they're not the same person, like an El Generico and Sami Zayn kind of thing. Like, it's not me. What are you talking about? It's not me. And that would be cool. And it'd be good to see Bryan like get involved in matches with other people as well. Like guys on NXT and stuff would be awesome to see stuff like that. So, I mean, I can't not say no to that. I think that is a very, very strong and good pitch, that Matthew. I like that.
Thank you, Andrew.
Kiss.
Yay, all the positivity. Kiss. What a lovely man you are. And also realise that then Cesaro can mess with Dragon and go, I'm Swiss Dragon. You know, no longer neutral. And I drink horse blood every day to feel strong, because that's what you tell people at the gym when they ask him what steroids he was on. No, I drink a pint of horse blood every day. Yeah, that's what you tell people.
He's just... I know that a lot of wrestlers have done, you know, the old, to get muscular. But I'd believe it if Cesaro never had. He just seems like a strong person. He's like an 1800s circus strongman. I wish he could grow a mustache.
That's exactly what I was just thinking then. Yeah, yeah. He just grows a little mustache.
Yeah. Never mind.
Look at you just just daydreaming off in the distance there. Yeah.
I didn't mean that.
There's a little bubble up here and there. Cesaro's doing this.
He's got one huge barbell. Like...
And for his next trick, the mighty Swiss Dragon will giant swing an elephant.
You know. Sheamus plays him off. On the piano.
Go on, Andrew.
Andrew, yes.
Yeah, so mine is also... like Roman Reigns related, but it's more to do with the like continuation of the Jimmy J and Roman storyline. So this is a big one again. Sorry, guys, about this. But honestly, after Jimmy's return on SmackDown this past Friday, it's easy to see there's some conflict, you know, conflicting feelings happening between the brothers and the tribal chief. And obviously, when Cesaro came out and attacked Reigns at the end of the show, Jimmy didn't help the chief. No, he helped his brother instead. That's the thing here. That's the thing to latch onto here. So it's a little bit of like long-term booking kind of thing as well, but let's get into it. So at the pay-per-view, we get like a backstage segment and stuff of Jimmy. He's trying to talk some sense into Jay. He's trying to tell his brother that this isn't him. You know, he's his own man. The only person he should be siding with is his brother because he respects him and he treats him as an equal. And that's what family is about. It's about unity. He goes on to say that Roman probably still wouldn't have the belt, you know, if it wasn't for you, Jay, if you didn't like get involved in his matches and stuff. And look at the respect he gives you. He gives you none. You deserve better. We can do better. And then enter Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns comes in and he stares down Jimmy and, I don't know, says something along the lines of like, tonight's the night you better prove yourself to me. Step up and be a man, pal. Step up and be a man if you know what's good for you. And then Roman walks off and then Jay sheepishly walks off with him as well, looking at his brother as he goes past him. And then when you get to the match with Reigns and Cesaro, Jay's trying to like pull out some dirty shenanigans and stuff on Cesaro when the ref's not looking. But Jimmy's like, hey, look, no, get away, lad, get away. And he's saying stuff like, you know, if he's truly the tribal chief, he doesn't need our help. He can do this on his own. And Roman hears this. He hears this like, and he hears it in passing. And he's like, he gets visibly irritated and stuff. And he goes over to confront Jimmy and Jay comes between them like, well, no, he'll fall in line. Don't worry, he'll fall in line. It's all good. And this distracts Roman enough for like Cesaro to almost get a near fall. So clearly irked by the near fall, Roman, he gets really angry at this point. He proper like starts coming in hot. He's coming on over to Jimmy. Again, he's going to scold him. And then Jimmy jumps up on the apron. He's like, come on then, pal, let's have a do. And then behind, Cesaro's coming. He's gonna clock Roman around the back of the head. Roman moves. Cesaro hits Jimmy. Jimmy falls on Jay. Both of them are out. And then as Cesaro turns around, Reigns is always already bounced off the ropes. Boom. He's got a spear in. And where have I got to? Spear. 1, 2, 3. That's it. He's done. Cesaro's out for now. Don't worry, guys. Don't worry.
Sorry.
But after the match, Roman gets a chair and he starts battering Cesaro. There's like proper brutal chair shots and stuff. And he gets another chair. He lays Cesaro's head on it and he looks like he's going to go for the concerto. But the Usos have got back up at this point and he calls them in. He's like, come on, come into the ring. He passes the chair to Jay. He's like, take the shot. Boom. Jay concerto Cesaro. Roman says, hand it over to your brother, and looks towards Jimmy and says, now pass the test. Fall in line and acknowledge me. Jimmy hesitates for a while and he refuses. He turns away and Roman says, I wasn't talking to you. And then Jimmy turns around again.
No!
Boom! Jay has clocked Jimmy with the chair.
Oh,
he looks disturbed and disgusted that he's done this. And he's like, oh, you made me do this, brother. You made me do this. And basically, like, my idea for this is I want this to turn into like an angle in which we see like multiple Jimmy versus Jay matches where ultimately the end is a stipulation where if Jimmy loses, he's got a side with the tribal chief. And perhaps even like Roman Reigns like even threatens Jimmy with like Rikishi or something and he's like, I'll beat your dad up. I'll beat your dad up dead hard and all that.
I'll never let Naomi dance again.
Yeah. I know, right? but I don't know what it is. We're getting to a point where I think it'd be cool to like start seeing some cracks in the foundation of this whole entire thing. Maybe have Jimmy join the faction and then they win the tag belts. But like he's always just feeling not right within this thing. And then we just like start to see stuff crumble. And yeah, that was the long-term booking. That's the one. Just a bit more development, I guess.
It's a yes from me. I was horrified when Jay hit Jimmy with the chair. So it elicited a genuine response from me.
That's giving it
a big thumbs up.
Thank you.
Yeah, you paint such a wonderful picture, especially when you're doing the, like, oh, come on, be a man. And I instinctively, because I saw the Macho Man A&E thing, I was like, be a man, Roman. Come on, don't be a punk. Be a man, Roman. Just one big punk.
Once for a video at What Culture, I listened to that whole album, all of Randy Savage's rap album.
And is
I
it
love
good?
I love Randy Savage. He's like my favorite of that era, but That rapping wasn't his forte, unfortunately. Be a Man Hulk's got lines in it. It's a vicious diss track. It's got lines in it like, you think you're tough, bro? There was a charity event and you didn't show. He's like bringing real stuff.
Is that the one against, is it like a diss against Hogan?
Oh, it is.
Is that the one? Yeah, I remember. I've heard that one. It's good.
Oh, it's like Hit 'Em Up. It's like Tupac and Biggie.
Yeah, it's like no Vaseline. It's definitely up there.
Yeah. What's the other famous one? Ether. Nas. Nas.
Sorry, I'm just going to genius.com to see the lyrics of that, because there was one inexplicably he's like talking about how great he is. Your movie straight to video, the box office can't stand, while I got myself a feature role in Spider-Man.
Oh, he did.
And he were good.
Yeah, he was.
Boots are ready.
Just like that.
Yeah. Oh. Mr. Nanny is red. That doesn't really work, does it? So, yes, it's a thumbs up from me. What a beautiful bit of prose. The prose thank is you. Almost as beautiful as yourself, Andrew. So thank you for making that pitch sound so great. Thumbs up from me.
That's lovely. Thank you, guys.
It's my last one, isn't it? It's the last one. Mm-hmm. I wish I'd saved my funny one for now, unfortunately. But I'm going to go for a bit of serious booking, actually. And it concerns the Dirty Dogs, or the Top Dogs, versus the Mysterios. Now, I think what everyone seems to think is going to happen, and I probably agree, is that the Mysterios are probably going to win, mm-hmm. and then the Usos will beat mm-hmm. them for the tag belts, because it's more effective if the Usos beat a face team than if they batter Ziggler and Rude. Everyone would just be like, oh, fair, yeah. Fair play. So the Mysterios against the Dirty Dogs, and I think that Dominic should get the pinfall, but in the process of getting the pinfall, it's not like your standard blind tag where the other person's like, what are you doing? It's more like he kind of gets a bit carried away going for the win and kind of shoves Ray aside, and Ray like bumps huge, he's like, whoa, what? And Dominic pins whoever, probably Ziggler, I don't know actually whichever one, but pins one of them. And then afterwards, Dominic's buzzing. He's like, we did it, Dad. We won the tag belts. And you can see Ray's a bit like, oh, I don't know about this. Like, is he the alpha dog anymore of the Mysterio clan? I don't know. So that's obviously somewhere down the line. Then when they lose to the Usos, that'll build up the tension between them a bit more. Maybe, I can't decide which one I want to be the bad guy. I mean, Ray is not a natural bad guy, but I just want to see him in his old filthy animals gear. With the horns.
The dungarees.
And the dungarees, yeah. Oh, no, he'd have to take the mask off, though, wouldn't he?
Ooh. I don't know, just put some horns on a mask, he'd be right.
That is true. Yeah. Is Ray the one wrestler that, like, everyone knows what he looks like, even though, like, the one masked wrestler that everyone knows what he looks like anyway?
Juventud.
Mask of course.
Now again.
Yeah.
Psychosis, I think, to a small degree, because I think he wears the mask to the ring, then takes it off.
I can't think what he looks like. No, wait, I mean, yeah, of course I can. You wore
don't remember ECW One Night in, Stand?
He wore it in WWE, I mean, he didn't wear it in WWE, yeah, fair enough. But yeah, I think Dominic should be the one who turns on Ray. And then it should all lead to like a mask versus whatever match. Mask versus hair. And Dominic should win. Yeah, that's right. But that's like a WrestleMania. That's further down the line. But at the minute, little bit of between Dom and Ray as they win the tag match. Dom just trucks his dad aside to get the pinfall. And Ray's like, Dios mio. Yeah.
That was good. I like that. Yeah.
Cheers.
And I like that you call him Dom Ray, where I was go with the Phoenix Knights dude. Ray Dom.
Ray Dom. Oh, imagine if they called it. They're both big Phoenix Knights fans.
Yeah. I love it. I like it because it also sets that little thing back in history where people remember that, of course, Dominic is not Ray's son. He's Eddie's son. So there's always going to be a bit of that Eddie blood in him. Yeah,
I feel like it got retconned.
No.
Did it not come out that Eddie had forged the... Sorry. Sorry for spoiling the magic.
I'm being a fanny. I apologise.
Sorry.
But yes. I like that. Yeah, they could just redo the thing where it's like, no, Dominic, this is the way to do it. No, Dad, I want to do it my way. No, son.
He starts doing the thing in matches.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
I don't know why, Dad, but last night I lied, I cheated, and I stole in that order in succession. I don't know what's up with me. It's just puberty. Yeah, so I like it. Setting the scene. And to be honest with you, I think this is the only storyline thing to happen for the SmackDown tag titles since... Oof. When was the last time anything happened? The Street Profits... No.
They had a thing with the New Day as like a sort of past versus present, or like present versus future thing.
Oh, that was at Survivor Series, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was very reassuring. No, I remember when the Street Profits called out the Top Dogs, and the Top Dogs beat them up, and the next week they lost the tag titles because they got beat up. And I'm like, am I supposed to boo or cheer them? Kind of had it coming, really, lads.
One of my favorite bits of WrestleMania, I don't even think it was because of the rain delay. I think it was just a normal backstage interview during the show. Maybe it was the rain delay, I don't know. But they interview the Top Dogs, the Dirty Dogs, and they're just there. They're like, yeah, we're not defending the belts, but for the Raw tag match, we think AJ and Omos are going to win. And then they did. And I was like, so they've just, their role at WrestleMania was to give one correct prediction.
Good use of the belts there, lads. Well done.
Yeah. I'm liking Ziggler again. Because
they're good.
It's clear that Ziggler only cares about amusing himself now.
Yeah.
I just really like it.
I like it. He's beaten, paid to chill.
Yes.
More power than me.
Essentially.
What were you going to say, Andrew?
I just wanted to say yes to Jack's pitch, because for a long time I've been thinking as well, like, I think it's probably, well, maybe it's going to end up that, like, Ray and sort of like Dom retires Ray, and then Ray maybe just like passes on the mask to Dominic and stuff somewhere down the line. That's what I can imagine happening anyway. So I think that'd be a really cool way to like get to that point down the line. So yeah, it's just cool, and it would be awesome to see them two, father and son, just like having, because they're both still really well. Ray's still really good, and Dom like
Dom's
obviously
still
he's still really good.
Yeah.
But he's really really good too, and I think they'd get the best out of each other being father and son. I think they'd get a lot of good stuff out of each other. So yes, it's another big old yes from me, Jack.
Thank you guys. And in the Jack verse further on, we can set up the big Dom versus Hook feud as well. So
yes,
fantastic!
Wow, look at that forward planning.
Thanks for joining me in this pictures video, guys. And thanks everybody for watching as well. Andrew, have you got anything in the pipeline that you want to share?
No, just Twitch on Mondays, Monday Funday, 6 PM, Twitch, cultaholic.com. Nope. twitch.tv/cultaholic. Just doing that. Other than that, yeah, no. Just editing and doing stuff, and looking forward to finally being able to see you boys in real person. Aww. Hopefully soon.
Hopefully so. And Matthew, what have you got going on?
I'll be doing the podcast with you on Friday, and
aye.
I will not be doing my Twitch streams on Saturday because I'm having the day off because my mate's having a birthday and a barbecue meetup. It's the first time in about a year that's happened. So sorry, people want to watch Final Fantasy IX. You can wait a week. It'll be all right. The game's still good.
And I do Twitch as well with Owen every week on Wednesday from 6 PM. At the time of recording, this is a Wednesday, but I don't know when this video is going out. It might be when the stream's already on. It might be tomorrow. I don't really know. What I do know is the stream is on at the same time as Sunderland's playoff semi-final against Lincoln, and I'm going to be so distracted in the background with
the
what's going on. So, thanks once again, everybody, for watching along. Leave your pictures in the comments down below. Why not? It's all a big laugh, isn't it? And enjoy WrestleMania Backlash. See you soon.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.